Gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's PZ Cussons conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on the 23rd of September 2020. And without any further delay, I'm delighted to hand the conference over to presenter today, Mr. Jonathan Myers, CEO of PZ Cussons. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Petra, and thank you everyone who's joined the call today. I know I haven't had the chance to meet many of you yet. I'll come on to that in a moment, but I do appreciate you making the effort to spend some time with us on a busy day. As you may well know, it's my first set of results since taking over as the new CEO of PZ Cussons about 4.5 months ago, and I'm just one of 100 or so new employees that the company has taken on since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, frankly, all of us have started our roles in ways which none of us would ever have imagined. And, of course, what I haven't been able to do is get out and visit the markets and really get a sense of all of our operations. But I would say how impressed and struck I have been by how well the organization has responded to the COVID-19 pandemic. Firstly, looking after our employees and their families, and thereby enabling all of them to really do an extraordinary job of managing and navigating the business through a period of remarkable challenges. And above all, helping millions of people do something as basic, but now we have learned as critical as washing their hands. And I want to start off by saying thank you and just recognizing the hard work of all of them. One other impact of this pandemic has been that we've got two sets of numbers for you this morning, though. So I will be assisted by Alan Bergin, our interim CFO, in a moment. He'll take you through the full year 2020 numbers. And then I'll come back with a trading update on our first quarter and the chance to share a few initial thoughts before we open up to your questions. So if you'd like to turn to slide 4, I'll hand over to Alan.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Good morning, everyone. And we will now turn to the key messages for the financial year ended 31st of May 2020. Overall, the last financial year was a challenging one, with our markets impacted by macroeconomic factors leading to category contraction and consumer discounting in the first half, and of course the mixed impact of COVID-19 in the second half. We saw progress on the strategy launched in July last year, with three disposals announced this year, year-on-year growth in the focus brands, driven by the second half results, and a reduction in the organisation complexity, particularly in the final quarter of the year. In terms of top-line growth, we saw excellent results in the UK, driven by Carex, but decline in Nigeria and Australia, and the adverse impact of COVID-19 on our beauty business, which, given seasonality, sales largely fall in the second half of the year. In this phase of revenue decline, we implemented overhead measures in the final quarter, but maintained a strong commitment to marketing investment, which was in line with the previous year despite the fall in profits. Given the operating environment and mixed impact of COVID-19, our liquidity was a key focus for the organisation as we looked internally, choosing not to participate in UK government support schemes such as the furlough or COVID-19 commercial paper programmes, instead focusing on our working capital. And overall, our net debt declined significantly year on year. Looking ahead, we continue to see volatility in the markets and we operate and look to balance off the needs to increase investment behind our great brands with a strong focus on cash. The board are recommending to pay a final dividend which reflects this good work on cash management and provides a more sustainable level for future growth. We will now turn to the overview of numbers on slide 5, please. As we can see from slide 5, there was a moderate decline of 2.4% in the year with revenue at $587 million, driven by Nigeria and the mixed impact of COVID-19 in our business. Focus brand revenue grew compared to last year at 3.3%, principally driven by Carex in Q4. Adjusted profit before tax at $62 million reduced by some 15%, driven by these losses in Nigeria, decline in beauty, and lower profits in Australia. This offset excellent results in both the UK and Indonesia. Our interest charge was lower, than last year, reflecting the reduction in our debt position. Reported profit before tax declined to £29.3 million, largely due to the impairment of 5AM and Rafferty's Garden and costs associated with the restructuring, offsetting the profits on disposal of our operations in Greece and Poland. The balance sheet was significantly strengthened, with net debt declining to £49.2 million compared to £154 million last year. Net debt to adjusted EBIT ratio is now 0.6 times compared to 1.5 times last year, and external financing headroom on our external facility is some £200 million. Total free cash flow was £131 million, with a conversion rate of 143%. This demonstrated the strong working capital management in the year and clearly shows a focus of liquidity on the business amid volatility. Please can you now turn to slide 6 and we'll look at the performance of our largest region, the Europe and Americas. For Europe and Americas, revenue was £214 million and it grew by 6% compared to the previous year, with growth also in adjusted operating profit to £55 million. BZ Cousins achieved the number one in value and volume share terms in the washing and bathing category in the UK. The COVID-19 pandemic has seen our trade partners and consumers reach for Carex, which has a strong heritage and performance in the antibacterial wash and sanitizer. On the back of this, the UK enjoyed an outstanding set of results, growing strongly this year. Beauty revenue declined sharply compared to last year. Revenue in the first 9 months was impacted by lower consumer confidence in the UK, while COVID-19 disproportionately impacted results due to the seasonality specifically in the US. Furthermore, COVID-19 led to the cancellation of some of our marketing activities, and in particular for Saint-Tropez. Adjusted operating profit for the region grew due to the revenue performance in the UK, offsetting the COVID-19 related decline in beauty, together with increased head office costs associated with investment in capabilities, including digital. Margins remained robust, but somewhat diluted by the impact of beauty. Please now can we turn to slide 7 and we'll review our Asia Pacific region. Revenue was £185 million, declining 3.7%, with adjusted operating profit at £18.5 million. In Indonesia, revenue was stable, despite a reduction in the number of trading days associated with Lebaran, and some volatility due to COVID-19 impacting the trading outlet. Australia revenue was lower, largely driven due to the decline in our food brands, continued high level of promotion activity, and the impact of COVID-19 on our beauty category in the final half of the year. This offset a very strong performance by Morning Fresh and our other home care brand, Radiant. Excellent profit growth in Indonesia, driven by an improved product mix, was offset by the performance in Australia, which was further adversely impacted by foreign exchange movements. In Asia Pacific, we have reviewed the value of our acquisitions in Australia, and this has led to an impairment at group level of some £37 million. The impairment of 5AM reflects the revision of forecasts as a result of increased competition, the delisting of our Simply range, COVID-19 impact on food service products, as well as a more negative outlook on the category and macroeconomic assumptions. The impairment of Rafferty's Garden reflects disappointing results in China to grow the brand, as well as an outlook on macroeconomic assumptions. Finally, in terms of the regions, let's turn to slide 8 and have a look at Africa. In Africa, revenue was £187 million, and this declined roughly 9.7% with operating losses at £7 million. Revenue in Nigeria was adversely impacted by the continuation of adverse economic conditions, worsening in the final quarter of the financial year as a result of the decline in oil, as well as the impact in COVID-19, which led to an initial closure of the open markets, difficulties in transporting products around the country, and a focus by the consumer on food products. We also continue to see the contraction in our mass market home and personal care brands, resulting in price reductions, discounting, and ultimately lower margins for the industry as a whole. The adjusted operating loss was driven by the decline in our home and personal care categories, but accelerated also in Q4 as a result of COVID-19. Losses were further increased through the accounting impact of the devaluation in April 2020. COVID-19 prompted us to prioritise cash collection over sales in the final quarter and review key provisions on the balance sheet regarding stock and debtors. The results in Nigeria were partially offset by increased profits in Kenya, Ghana, and also contribution from our associate PZ Wilmore. That concludes our review of the regions. Please now can you turn to slide nine, and we'll talk about brands. We achieved revenue growth of 3.3% across our focus brands compared to last year. This was largely driven by the outstanding performance of Carex in the UK, but also Morning Fresh in its respective markets. St. Tropez and, to a less extent, Sanctuary were impacted adversely by COVID-19 due to the lockdown, eliminating social gatherings and closing retail, and disproportionately impacting our results due to seasonality. Both Imperial Leather and Original Source declined in the first half, reflecting consumer uncertainty and lower footfall in the UK, and were impacted in the second half by the contraction in the shower category, with the focus of the business also to produce Carex, given the limitations on our supply chain as a result of the pandemic. Cousins Baby in Indonesia delivered a robust performance, but was impacted by the reduced number of selling days this year, while in Nigeria, the brand, it was impacted by COVID-19 after growth in the first half of the year. Premier in Nigeria declined in the face of heavy promotional activity, as well as this adverse of COVID-19 in the second half of the year. Rafferty's Garden in Australia was relaunched and led to a flattening in the decline in market share, but overall for the year revenue was down. Electricals growth in the first half was curtailed by COVID-19, and overall the revenue result was in line with last year. Please now can you go to slide 10 and we'll look at our net debt and cash position. As we've seen, net debt reduced from $153 million to $49 million due to the proceeds from disposals and increased focus across the business on managing working capital and capital expenditure. Net proceeds from our disposal program delivered some $45 million, with improvements in working capital generating close to $60 million. This was driven by increased revenue in the UK, where our debtor days are shorter than the rest of the group, a one-off benefit also in the UK of the VAT deferment program, and prioritisation of receivables in Nigeria given the COVID-19 risk. Our balance sheet remains strong, with a net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio of 0.6, and in May 2020, as I said, we have essentially a headroom of some £200 million. In addition, the group's three UK pension schemes have an aggregate accounting surplus, offsetting a small deficit in the overseas schemes. Please can you now turn to slide 11 and we'll cover our approach to the management of COVID-19 risk in the company. In the face of unparalleled business and social disruption, our priorities to manage through the COVID-19 crisis were to ensure the protection and well-being of our employees and their families, and also meeting the needs of consumers and customers around the world. The response of our employees to COVID-19 pandemic has been fantastic. Our factories continue to manufacture during the height of the crisis and maintain supply to our customers when they needed it most. Innovation and supply chain agility meant that we were able to supply new pack sizes and product formats in response to the changing needs of consumers as the weeks and months unfolded. At the same time, ensuring safe and secure conditions for our employees in their place of work, whether in factories, distribution centres or at home, was a key priority for our teams all around the world. The impact of COVID-19 across our business was significant, although very different by business units and market. In the UK, we were met with and able to supply exceptional demand for Carex. Our beauty business was impacted through St. Tropez, as we know. Our business in Nigeria was adversely hit by both the physical impact of the COVID-19 crisis and especially the closure of open markets. Since the foundation of PZ Cousins over a century ago, a sense of purpose has always been at the heart of the organisation, and our actions to support the wider community in the second half of the year have reinforced this. Our approach has been targeted to the specific needs of each market, with a focus on programs to distribute free soap, sanitizer and hand wash to those who are vulnerable and in need. For example, in the UK, our That's Why We Care Act program is working with homeless, elderly and other vulnerable groups. In Nigeria, the PZ Cousins Foundation distributed soap in the north of the country, while in Asia, we continue to support those communities close to our manufacturing site. Our approach to COVID-19 is constantly evolving in line with the situation, and we see volatility increasing in the short term. Finally, in relation to FY20, please turn to slide 12, which concerns the dividend. The board is recommending a final dividend of 3.13p per share, making a total of 5.80p per share for the year, despite the external volatility and supported by the prudent management of cash to date. This represents a reduction of 30% versus last year. The decrease will reset our dividend coverage to a more sustainable level, which has been diluted over the last few years. It will provide the business with the capacity for investment in our key brands and in new opportunities such as hygiene amid COVID-related uncertainty. I will now hand back to Jonathan to bring us up to date with the trading statement for the first quarter ended 31st of August 2020. Please, can you now turn to slide 14 for the key messages?
Thanks, Alan. So picking up on slide 14, you know, we've made a solid start to the year. We're back in growth. The growth is broad-based. We've seen strong growth in some of our top markets and on some of our top brands. In some places, it's a return to growth, and in some places, it's an acceleration of the growth that we showed in Q4. Obviously, and understandably, we've seen some very strong demand levels for our hygiene-related brands, but as I'll come on to show you in a moment, we've seen renewed momentum beyond hygiene and in other parts of our business as well. Importantly, we've seen growth in all of our regions, which we'll look at in a moment as well, but I'd like to stress most significantly that in Africa, we're back in profitability after the disappointing losses last year. However, you know, it's only the start of the year. It's only the start of our efforts to turn around the business. And we're expecting and anticipating some significant volatility ahead, manifesting itself in two forms, be it the literal physical disruption of COVID-19 and the impact of lockdowns on the various markets in which we operate around the world, but also the impact on our consumers as they begin to feel recessionary pressures on the pound, dollar, or naira in their pockets. As we work through that volatility, we're going to keep a close focus on the things that have worked well for us in recent months, in particular driving our cash and liquidity performance. But what we've really tried to do in the first quarter is set about reigniting the business, really trying to unlock some pockets of top-line growth and doing so with a sense of urgency so that we can demonstrate the agility which should be a competitive advantage for a business of our size. It's only one step, the first quarter. No one can claim that we fixed the business or changed everything in one quarter. We're pleased with the start, but we do recognize we have much more to do. So let's turn to slide 15, and we can take a look at those strong overall revenue numbers that I talked about just a moment ago, where we see the top line for the group having grown by 23%, really fueled by our focus brands, effectively our top brands, which have grown by 37%. We've continued to do very well on our net debt, and we've improved on the year-end position and show significant improvement versus the same position a year ago at about 37 million of net debt at the end of the first quarter. As part of the approach that we've taken to reignite the business, what we chose to do was to identify a set of interventions, a short list, that we would elevate to what we've called internally, you have to excuse the label for a moment, our turbo boosters that we've really tried to unleash in the first quarter and to demonstrate to ourselves as an organization that we can work in a different way, a more energized and more agile way, to really go for activities that will unlock additional revenue within the quarter. Some of those turbo boosters were on our hygiene brands, but they were also on e-commerce and other aspects of brand activation, and I'll talk about those in a moment. But if we move on to slide 16, you'll see why we're saying that the growth is broad-based. You'll remember from the slide that Alan showed, last year we grew four of our top brands, and in the first quarter of this year, we've grown 10. So we're very pleased with that evolution, and we want to sustain it. And we've been able to do that by really driving some of the biggest brands in our portfolio. Carex has continued to establish itself as the market leader, not just in a bigger liquid hand soap market in the UK, but a dramatically bigger hand sanitizing gel market. And in fact, we estimate that Carex soap has washed about 1 billion hands in the UK in the past 12 months. But more broadly than that, if we look to the other side of the world and we look at Morning Fresh in Australia, we've seen record share levels for the hand wash, the washing up liquid business in Australia, where we peaked in the last quarter with about one Aussie dollar out of every two being spent on Morning Fresh as part of the overall category. But we've also seen growth in Premier in Nigeria and growth on Cussons Baby in Indonesia. Hence why we're saying broad-based, some of those related to hygiene, but clearly not all. Saint-Tropez was back to growth, and electricals in Nigeria also back to growth. Our challenge now is to maintain all the ones that are in green and then make sure we get on to fixing the brands that are in red. It won't be plain sailing, but obviously we've made a good start. So shifting from a brand lens to a regional lens, if we move to slide 17, you can see that that brand momentum really does translate into momentum across all regions. Obviously led by Europe and the Americas, we're going to round up 49% to 50% growth, but we do see solid growth in the other regions as well. Obviously Europe and Americas was fueled by Carex, but we also saw early signs of renewed momentum in our beauty business. Now anyone who's working in the beauty category would say whatever positive signs there are fragile, and we would say the same, but we also saw benefits from some of the actions we took in the first quarter, not least much more aggressively opening up new e-commerce routes to market, which meant that we got to a record level of our beauty sales at 36% of total revenue being sold online. In Asia Pacific, we saw good growth in both Australia, New Zealand, and Indonesia, with Cussons Baby continuing to grow in Indonesia, despite some challenges on footfall in the modern trade as consumers have been locked down and are more likely to be sticking to the traditional trade in their local neighborhoods. But we also saw a continuation of momentum on Morning Fresh and Radiant in Australia and New Zealand. Meanwhile, Africa clearly benefited from us being able to play in more of our traditional routes to market that were impacted as the open markets were either closed down or subject to curfews in Q4. But we saw also the benefits of us taking pricing actions to offset foreign exchange and raw material input cost inflation, but at the same time benefiting from some of the relaunch activity on Premier Soap that actually took place in the market in the second half of last year. But it wasn't just on Premier Soap that we saw momentum in Nigeria. We also saw good momentum and returns to growth on Morning Fresh and Cussons Baby. If we move to slide 18 then, we can spend a moment on what do we see as our outlook. We're pleased with our solid start, but we remain very cautious. There's a lot of volatility ahead. As I said, that could be the physical disruption of lockdowns across markets and across our supply chain as we all navigate the variables, not least in the last 24 hours here in the UK, of COVID-19, but also the looming recession in most of the markets in which we operate. But based on our first quarter, we are also taking actions from a position of confidence. We want to improve our results sustainably in the long term, and therefore we're looking to increase investment in our business in the balance of the year, be it in capabilities or in direct marketing support to build stronger brands. As we do that, though, we'll maintain a strong focus on the operational aspects of our business that we have done in the last 6 months as we try to navigate through the challenges that remain. I would also say that while we've been doing this work, we've also been taking another look at our strategy. The reality is, as I'm sure all of you have experienced, consumer habits and behaviors have changed dramatically, particularly in some of the categories in which we operate over the last 6 months. And if we are to be a successful branded consumer goods business in the future, we need to make sure we are responding to changing consumer needs and habits, and hence why we've been taking a look at how we move our strategy forwards to get us back to delivering sustainable, reliable growth in the future. So as we move to slide 18, let me pick up on how we might think about getting back to that path to sustainable, reliable growth. And after a little over 4 months in the role, I want to start by saying how impressed I am with the fundamental building blocks that exist in our business in the form of strong individual brands in individual markets, be that Carex in the UK, Morning Fresh in Australia, Cussons Baby in Indonesia, Premier Soap in Nigeria, or Saint-Tropez in the US. In my mind, these will form the building blocks of our future strategy and our future route to growth, or back to reliable, sustainable growth. At the same time, as we work through how we navigate our portfolio and evolve our portfolio to respond to the accelerating needs of consumers in the hygiene category. And as we do that, I think there is a bright future for PZ Cussons to be a branded consumer goods business that sets out to serve consumers. What we now need to do is to serve those consumers we have already better, then to find more consumers, driving household penetration, and ideally driving up the value of our brands, and importantly, driving up the price mix so that we're able to expand our gross margins and generate some oxygen in our P&L so that we can sustainably invest in our brands for the future. Also, as I look back at the history of the company, the rich history of over 135 years of being in business, I know there are some things that we want to continue to do and even do more of. And whether it's over recent decades, or perhaps even more so over recent months, we've seen a clear pattern of PZ people stepping up to do their bit, often in their local communities, as Alan mentioned, through the crisis of the pandemic, but also increasingly playing an ever more important, making an ever more important contribution to the environment, and that will undoubtedly form an important part of our future strategy. So in summary, we have a lot to get done. Not just dealing with the challenges of this year, but also dealing with the challenges of delivering a multi-year turnaround. And we're working really hard on both fronts. I want to say thank you to all the people within PZ Cussons as they remain focused on delivering that opportunity whilst navigating the challenges of this year. And I look forward to being able to demonstrate to all of you that we'll be able to deliver sustainable improvement in our performance in the years to come. So with that, what I'd like to do is hear more from all of you and more about your thoughts, and we're ready for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for the automated message advising your line is open. Please then state your first and last name before you ask your question. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and two. Once again, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question, please. And we will now take our first question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Nicola Mallard, Investec. A couple of questions, if I may. You've given us very kindly some numbers for Q1 up 23%. I just wondered if you could give us the Q4 revenue performance, just to put that in context. Also, you mentioned you'd cut complexity quite significantly in Q4, and I thought, could you give us a little bit more detail on that? And then finally, Imperial Leather and Original Source, clearly you've sort of deprioritized them a little bit in the short term to focus on the Carex manufacturer. What's the sort of outlook for those brands? I mean, we don't clearly want to damage the longer term performance, but have you been able to reduce some of the, sort of log jam in terms of production that you'll be able to put those brands back into the market shortly? Thank you.
Okay, hi Nicola, it's Alan. So listen, I'll deal with the revenue performance in Q4 compared to Q1. So Q4 in terms of revenue was essentially, you can take flat as guidance with essentially Europe and Americas and particularly the UK up, beauty down, Nigeria down. So all balancing itself off in terms of revenue.
And if I pick up a little bit on the Q4 simplification and then, you know, what's the prognosis on Imperial Leather, Original Source versus capacity prioritization, et cetera. So in Q4, the simplification efforts were really in two areas. One, very literal and mechanical, as we made efforts to reduce some of the SKU count that we have in some of our markets to simply to reduce the amount of stuff we were doing so that we could concentrate on some of the more important SKUs and doing some of the classic work to prioritize on your A and B SKUs and deprioritize C SKUs. But I would also say we took a look at our structure and started to make some choices about how we might simplify our operation for the future. And what that meant was taking out some layers of management and some aspects of our previous global category and multifunctional setup so that we could put more of the center of gravity back into our markets, closer to the burning heat of the competitive marketplace, so that we could move faster and ideally enable some of that agility that I referred to that we were concentrating on unlocking in the first quarter. And then finally on Imperial Leather and Original Source versus Carex, I think we have a couple of things going on here. You know, in the early days of the crisis, I was really impressed with how the organization reprioritized supply both in manufacturing and in distribution to enable us to do a better job of protecting availability, particularly of antibacterial products at the moment when our consumers and the customers through which we reach them most needed them. What we've worked to do since then is to start to bring back Imperial Leather and Original Source, and there's no doubt that that constrained supply impacted our ability to grow those brands in the first quarter. But we did also see some consumers move away from some categories during the pandemic, and in line with a number of other beauty and personal care categories, yeah, we did see the bath and shower categories reduce slightly as, not to put too blunt a point on it, people were showering less and bathing less when they were working from home rather than going to the office. So what we're now working to do is, more importantly, find a future, a brighter future, and get stronger plans for Imperial Leather and Original Source. But we haven't necessarily nailed those yet. So hence why I say, you know, one quarter doesn't mean that we fixed everything and we've still got some work to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. It's Matthew Webb from Panmure Gordon. I wonder if I could start off by asking, Jonathan, how you think about the balance between investing behind your brands and maintaining and ideally growing your current level of profitability. I mean, as I see it, you could either decide that you want to or feel obliged to carry on making around 60 million of PBT and invest what you can within that constraint, or you could decide that you just need to increase your investment regardless, and if that means PBT falling to, you know, whatever, 55 million for a while, then that's the right thing to do. I know it's still relatively early days for you, but do you is that a fair way of looking at it, and if so, which of those approaches would you sort of currently favour?
Well, without getting into a detailed outlook discussion on profitability, Matthew, I think what we can say for sure is we want to shift our business model to be one of more reliable, sustainable growth built around rock-solid consumer brands that have pricing power and the ability to reach more consumers through household penetration in the markets in which we choose to operate. To do that, I believe we're going to have to increase some of our marketing investment, but actually also some of our broader marketing capabilities so that we can up our game in our brand building effectiveness. And we will do that over time, but we can also should only also be doing it when we've got what I would call investment grade plans and investment grade marketing activity to support. So what we're working on at the moment is, one, trying to generate the oxygen in the P&L by beginning to look at how can we plan to nudge up our price mix over time so that we're able to generate stronger gross margins, at the same time as trying to up our game in the overall marketing machine so that we then have better quality plans that will justify the investment, and that we should be able to do both of those things in the mid to long term as a way that will grow profitability rather than dip into it in the short term.
Got it. No, that's very helpful. Thank you. Could I ask a couple of other questions, actually, please? The first sort of follows on from Nicola's second question, I suppose, which is, you know, where are you now on your ability to meet another surge in demand for hygiene products in the UK, in particular as we sadly move into a second wave of COVID? You know, I think during the first wave, clearly you could have sold a lot more than you did. Where are we now?
So we've done a lot of work in the last 6 months, both to, if you like, maintain the supply that we've got, but also to increase our confidence that we can respond to whatever spikes come. And part of that is staying close to our retail partners so that we can meet their needs, right? But a lot of it has also been to continually refine our planning processes, shortening our supply chains, and where possible, increasing our capacity to be able to manufacture not in the UK and increasingly in-house. And we've made a number of choices and taken a number of actions to improve our ability to do that, whether it be, you know, targeted CapEx, whether it be targeted prioritization, whether it be making sure we have sufficient raw materials either on the ground or on the way so that we can dip into them at short notice. And what we'll work through now is what looks like, you know, we could be entering another period of if you like, some volatile trading for our retail partners. And we want to make sure we're ready to support them as they try to meet the needs of their customers.
Thank you. Can I also just ask about the margin in Africa in the first quarter moving positive? I was just quite surprised to see that given how weak it was, you know, particularly towards the back end of last year. You know, the economic environment still looks very tough. How have you managed to achieve that?
Yeah. Hi, Matthew. It's Alan. Listen, Matthew, there were also a couple of one-offs in the final quarter that you've got to bring into the numbers. So we did have a devaluation in Nigeria of about 5 or 6%, and that impacts the numbers by about £2 to £3 million. So you can take that off the profit number. And then in general on COVID itself, we had some additional costs. So that's the first step. So the base was a bit worse than we expected. And then as we look into Q1, I think we've sort of implemented pricing increases in a better way. So we've taken pricing in both electricals and on the Premier brand, but particularly Morning Fresh, which is our premium brand. And they've gone better than last year when we had to promote back more heavily. So it's a mixture of pricing and also a lower base from Q4 in honesty.
Got it. And then, sorry, one final question, if you don't mind. I see from the Hut Group IPO material that you're working with them. Yeah. And I wondered firstly how that's going so far, and also, you know, how big a part you see the direct-to-consumer channel playing in the future of your business. Sorry, I think you might have actually given a target figure for online sales in the presentation, but I missed it. Could you just repeat that, please? Thanks.
Well, hopefully not a target. It was an actual figure. It was a 36% number is what Beauty achieved online in Q1. Part of that's by selling through our traditional or existing bricks and clicks retail partners. Some of that's through, you know, some dramatic growth, I would say, that we've seen in our pure play e-commerce businesses. And you're absolutely right. We also opened up some other e-commerce channels working closely with the Hut Group. And what they were able to do in collaboration with the beauty team in PZ Customs is work very fast to give access to consumers who wanted brands such as The Sanctuary or Saint-Tropez in both the US and the UK. And so, you know, I think the record level of online business is an indication of the not only the progress we've made, but underlines our commitment to get a lot more serious in the future. In fact, e-commerce was one of those cheesily named turbo booster projects that we put into the quarter to make sure that we actually delivered some revenue within the space of 12 to 13 weeks.
Yeah. I suppose also, Matthew, I just wouldn't look at us the Hut Group. We're obviously on Amazon, we're on other websites, and also CareX Professional as well. So we've got a multi-tiered approach to digital.
Brilliant. That's really, really helpful. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you. We will now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. It's Damien here from Numis. So a couple of questions from me, just kind of extending on from Matthew's questions. In terms of the sort of the turbo boosting that happened in Q1, can you sort of set out sort of the vision for the next sort of, 12 months and whether there's a sort of a series of turbo boosters that should help to sort of power the organisation through and sort of keep sales moving? And then just if you could give us maybe a bit more information about how you're thinking about the strategic direction. I mean, clearly taking impairments on food you've also sort of selling Nutrisema, you've got out of food in Europe. Would it be reasonable to think that this business is moving much more towards a sort of beauty, hygiene type consumer business, or do you still think there is a role for other consumer brands in PZ going forwards? And then just one last one on CapEx, but I'll let you answer those two first, please.
I'll do one and two, and as you cheekily added three, I'm going to bounce that one over to Alan, and he's now got the time to think about it, don't you?
Yeah.
So let me talk a little bit about what we're trying to do between, actually, your two questions are connected. What are we trying to do with turbo boosters and trying to, frankly, reorientate the company, the organization, a little bit the culture, but more importantly, reignite the appetite for profitable revenue growth that then will ultimately sustain. And we're really trying to do two things. One is we're trying to respond to the here and now. I mean, the reality is, honestly, just the last 24 hours in the UK is an indication, we're having to respond and navigate short-term challenges and turn very quickly to make sure that we are able to position our brands to meet needs of consumers, whether that's antibacterial brands such as Carex or dishwashing brands such as Morning Fresh, or opening up e-commerce routes, as we've just discussed in the response to Matthew. And all of those were examples of projects we elevated to turbo boosters in Q1. What we're trying to do is then create, if you like, a rhythm of shorter-term interventions that we are able to direct the organization against in a more agile and somehow liberated fashion than maybe they've had in the past, so that we're able to pursue those quickly, which will also enable us then to take the right amount of time and show the right amount of forensic diligence, frankly, in embarking on what is the strategy for sustainable, reliable growth. And to some extent, you need to see these two things merging. But what we didn't want to do was to say to you or to anybody else, carry on as is, we'll come back with a new strategy in a few months, and then we'll change it overnight, right? That's not going to happen. What we wanted to do is to regain some momentum quickly, because the opportunity is there and the market is asking for it. Fundamentally, consumers are asking for it. And slowly migrate that into what will be the building blocks of a strategy, which we'll be ready to come and talk to you about first quarter, calendar quarter of next year or so. And we should see that some of the choices we're making on the short-term interventions will ladder up to some of the longer-term choices as well. And of course, what we're trying to understand as we build that strategy is, what is it that the consumer wants? Which are the markets or the categories that are going to be most attractive? And where do we have the greatest right to win? And there's no doubt the reason for taking another look is that our hygiene brands will come higher up that list than they might have done 24 months ago. But what I wouldn't do is assume that we're moving away, for example, from beauty or necessarily from some of our other top brands. You know, Rafferty's Garden continues to be the market leader in its core market of Australia, and is a significantly ahead market leader than the number two player. So there are still reasons to believe we can have strong brands in strong markets, even if they aren't necessarily hygiene. But we'll have more to tell you when we're ready, and I would expect that to be 6 months from now.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much, Jonathan. And then just Alan, on the CapEx, I mean, if we look historically, PZ was doing sort of 30 million of CapEx not too long ago, and we sort of did just under 7 this year. I mean, is there a risk that the business is going to require a sort of a big step up in CapEx to catch up, or do you think the business is sufficiently well invested that it's going to be sort of bolt-on style projects that sort of to help really sort of provide the framework to achieve the growth that Jonathan's talking about?
I think it's a bit of all three, and I'll try and explain. So listen, in terms of historically, you've got to remember we did have the SAP program, which was around 60 million. So that was a big capital investment for us. And we did have some significant investment in our factories. We're actually using that now. So we're sweating and adapting the assets. So for instance, we've been able to launch Carex in both Nigeria and Indonesia without too much CapEx investment. But we've definitely, for instance, invested in Sanitizer in Manchester, and we now make that locally as well as in Indonesia. So I think that's the first point. We are sweating the assets. I think in beauty, you've got to remember that's third party. So a lot of the capex is around our personal care business. So I wouldn't expect any increase, any significant material increase in the capex number. Seven's a bit low. You're probably looking towards 10 and a bit would be a better answer, but no significant increase in capex per the world where we are today.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much, Alan.
Thank you. We will now take the next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. It's Darren from Shaw. Couple from me, please. You talked about investing behind brands and capabilities, and on the capabilities front, you talked about sort of marketing and improving that. I mean, when you look across the remainder of the business, are you happy with sort of the skill, the broader capabilities within the business? Are there any sort of skill gaps which maybe need filling to fulfil your ambitions? And then just in terms of the Q1 performance, could you give us a bit more colour on maybe sort of price and volume within that 23% growth? And within those sort of 10 brands that the focus brands that are in growth in the first quarter, how many would be in growth on a volume basis, please?
Okay, so let me help you out with the first question, and maybe Alan will have the data points on the second. If not, we can follow up and we'll make sure we get them to you, Darren. So first of all, what are the capabilities that we have and what are the capabilities that we need to build? You know, we talked a little bit about some of the supply chain capabilities and how they responded well in the height of the pandemic and how they're preparing for, you know, potentially more volatility to come. And I would say that's an area of strength that I've been impressed with since I arrived. As we look at, for example, marketing capabilities, I want to define that quite broadly. That is not purely the marketing function, the people that design the innovation plans and the advertising, although it is absolutely that. It is more how do we as a company become, and you know, you'll notice I said it a couple of times, but a branded consumer goods business. How do we turn into a company of brand builders? And I think there are some specific capabilities. Some of them you would get played back from anybody you ask in consumer goods, and a couple are more specific to us. So, yeah, there's no doubt we, along with most players in the market, have got work to do in the area of digital. And that could be, you know, how we drive and manage our e-commerce business, and we've already called that out as a priority, how we market digitally, right, using social media and all the rest. And we've got good examples of that, but I think we can continue to get better. But the couple of areas where I think we will be making a difference in the future, one is, and excuse the jargon if it comes over that way, one is in the area of what I call revenue growth management. This is how do you nudge up your price mix so that you are able to get that gross margin expansion, but without the strong reaction of consumers to what might look otherwise like price increases. And that's, so the intention is not just to get into a pattern of increasing prices, but it's to play our whole portfolio and our pack price architecture so that we are able to nudge up value whilst offering great value to consumers, but in do so in a way which will give us some of the fuel for those marketing capabilities I just mentioned. And the one other area, maybe more as a marker for the future, and we'll come back when we talk the strategy, would be in the area of sustainability. I think there has been good work done in this company in that area, but I think now the question is not should we be building sustainability into our future strategy, but much more how big will sustainability be, and then what are the capabilities we need. So with that, let me have Alan. Do you have anything on the
volume?
Yes,
that's no problem. So Darren, I'm not going to give an overall number for price mix at this stage, but I suppose just because it varies by category, so you have to have a look at it. But I suppose just to understand, if we look at our personal care business and our beauty business, price has been the main leader. and essentially trading up in those. And picking out a few of the brands and why this is. So Carex, obviously, it's a mixture of both volume, it's great, but it's also pricing, and that's because of sanitizers. As Jonathan mentioned, that's, you know, the size of the market's 13 times more than it was a year ago. So that's been a particularly, you know, satisfactory high-margin product for us. In beauty, we also had a couple of more sales in the US, and that's a higher margin business for us in Saint-Tropez. Sanctuary is another example where we've moved out into different trade channels. They're a bit more profitable for us, such as online, for instance. So that gives us a better mix in the business. Jonathan talked about Morning Fresh. We're not seeing the same level of discounting around some of the Morning Fresh areas, which helps as well. So price is very key for us, and we can see it growing in both personal care and beauty.
Okay, thanks a lot for that, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. At the moment, we have no further questions.
Okay. So why don't I wrap up? Thank you, Petra. Why don't I wrap up there? If there aren't any questions, I'd like to say thank you for joining. Thanks for your time, your questions. I am looking forward to seeing you all somehow. Who knows when it will be in the flesh, but at least somehow, some point in the coming weeks and months. You know, I'm 4.5 months in. We've had a good start. I'm really enjoying working with all of the team here at PZ Customs. We're not declaring success. We're not saying the job has been done, far from it, but we are looking forward to getting on with delivering sustainable, reliable improvement in the future, and we look forward to talking to you in that future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and that does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.